Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 952. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
I don't know if it's the same, or should I do like a fancy chant for 15 seconds or a dance to like spice it up? Because France kind of embarrassed us on Saturday.
Oh, man. Yeah, especially I felt like that. Even the American crowds had been doing pretty good, but oh boy, did Hartford really drop the ball, in my opinion. Like, that was the exact opposite of what was happening in Lyon.
Yeah, like, we've had loud international crowds, and last year the Puerto Rican crowd from Backlash was considered like one of the best crowds in a long time. Yeah. And I know basically the gold standard is, people always say, Canadian Stampede in your house. Oh. I have never heard a crowd like that Backlash crowd in France, ever. Like, not even close. Like, they were loud from beginning to end. And it wasn't like annoying loud like some of the crowds can be.
Oh,
where it's
right.
Kind of like we're just here, like, you know, celebrating ourselves. Like, they were into the matches. They were cheering the baby faces. And they cheered heels that they liked. They didn't cheer all the heels. And it was just kind of like, I knew it was different because I caught a little late. And I was like, are they singing Randy Orton's theme song? And even Randy Orton just look around like, oh, I'm not used to this. Like, and once that happened, I was like, this is like halfway through the show, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, if they want to have Backlash in France every year as a tradition, like they used to have SummerSlam in Los Angeles for a long time, I would have no problem with that.
I don't know if you can replicate that, but that is pretty wild. That the last year's Backlash crowd was really awesome, but they really took it up a notch. Lyon somehow took it up a notch. Like you said, like it, there was just volume in reaction. There wasn't a dead match. Like, no. Usually at some point, people just die out and just nothing, top to bottom. Because I'm trying to think of, like, in retrospect, because yeah, I did not watch it live, so I was at least somewhat aware of how loud the crowd was from some X posts, and yeah, like, it was still nothing like taking it in, you know.
Yeah, I was watching it live, and it was just kind of like, it just caught me so off guard because it was just so, like, it made them feel like superheroes, like rock stars. Like, that Jey Uso entrance was one of the wildest things I ever saw in my life. Like, the fact that they had the lights off and they had, like, the, you know, the phone cameras on. And you,
yeah.
Like, this is just perfect. Like, for all that talking, kind of like, is Jey Uso really a big deal? Yes. And they made him seem like, everybody at Russell seemed like a big deal. And I think part of the reason the crowd worked was it wasn't that many matches.
Oh.
So every match had time and every match was able to tell a story. And it was like from that, like that opening tag match with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa, like they were fighting. Like that turned into a damn fight.
That was wild. I mean, I can't. I'm looking at things here now, and the shortest match was the women's triple threat at 13 minutes. So wow. Yeah, like you're talking about people getting to tell a story. Like, everyone had their time to tell a story.
And I like how they set up. Like, they set up that match where the match is about to start. They started fighting, and Nick Aldis is like, this is what y'all want to do? No holds barred. Just like change it up, just change it on the fly, and it just fit. And they were like, they were like, shout out to Tama Tonga. Like, he wanted to have an impression. He made one because he was taking some damn bumps. Like, I don't know if I'm getting superplexed onto some damn chairs.
Yeah, that was a wild bump to take, and honestly, even to give, because Kevin Owens at least took a side in the chair, or like his side into the chairs on the way down, because he had to, like, he was trying to get him on the flats of the chairs as best he could.
Yeah, it's only so much you can make that move look safe. And it's like, they weren't fighting unsafe. They were just like hard hitting. It's just amazing. Like, Kevin Owens and Randy Orton being this super tag team is just wow, because at first glance, you wouldn't guess it. But then it's like, they're both baby faces that are excellent heels. So it's like, they're the same. It's kind of like they're fat and fit versions of each of like the same person.
Well, like, it's honestly, to me, it's a similar dynamic as Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin in NXT, where both of them can be assholes, so like they don't really get offended either because they know that they're assholes.
Well, yeah, like it works. Like once you look, down on, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm a baby face, but I know how to cheat. Well, I also have common sense. That's both of them.
Yeah.
So, and it's like they work very well as a tag team, and they have like great, and it feels like natural. It doesn't feel forced or contrived, like the chemistry together. And then the end of the match is like, they got another one.
Everyone keeps on waiting for Jacob Fatu to show up, and it ends up being Tongaloa instead.
Yeah, so I got to see people post that infamous New Japan clip with him doing a thumb and a chop and a thumb and a chop over and over and barely touching Okada. I guess he has a reputation of not being the sharpest wrestler. So,
I don't feel like I saw them wrestle that much when I was watching New Japan. So I'm not sure that I have had much of an opinion on either of them, you know, like I know that I was aware of them and they were coming over to ROH before AEW was around. So, I mean, I also know that I saw some matches from them there, but like nothing for either of them really left an impression on me. Obviously they have great looks, but
yeah. And yeah,
wouldn't have known that he was lazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like this Bloodline story. People thought it'd be ended at WrestleMania. It's like, no, the Cody Rhodes part is ended. That story is still going. And just Paul Heyman has been doing a masterclass of kind of like, Roman Reigns is gone, and I have this monster that I have no way of controlling with Solo Sikoa. Like, I have no idea what to do or who to run to. Like, Jimmy's out. And Jay kind of looked at him like, that's none of my business. Good luck with that.
Yeah, he's like, I'll get involved if I'm forced to get involved.
So,
Jay should not get involved if he doesn't need to.
I mean, he'll get involved backstage because it's wild seeing people wanted Solo Sikoa to talk. And now he's talking. And it's kind of like unexpected, but appreciate it because it like gives more layers. And like you say, it's still more. Like, Jacob Fatu is there and people know he's there. And it's like, you know, you don't have to rush to have him show up, but this is kind of like they can tell out this entire story to the next WrestleMania and it will not feel dragged out because Roman Reigns is shooting a movie, taking a vacation. The Rock is shooting a movie and taking a vacation. And Jimmy is out taking a vacation.
Yeah, I mean, it is wild that it is possible to see Roman Reigns join back up with the Usos against, you know, say a Rock-led Bloodline group. You know, you could go that route with that story. Like, I don't know where exactly they're going with this thing, but yeah, they have so many angles to still work. And I agree with you. Like, it would almost be hard to make it feel dragged out to next WrestleMania. There are so many players, like you said, out or to be introduced, more than likely. Like, I mean, it would be shocking at this point if Jacob Fatu did not get involved in this storyline one way or the other.
I mean, he will, but it's like they don't have to rush it, and that's perfect. Like, they have plenty of time to do it, because, like, one of the things people pointed out is the next pay-per-view event in America, SummerSlam, which is wild to think about.
Yeah, it's a long time between pay-per-views for the WWE.
No, they have other pay-per-views. They're just other places, like Canada, Saudi. Germany and Wales. Yeah, when they said they were going international, they were not playing.
Yeah, I guess that, going back to the crowd part of things, I guess that'll be interesting to see how these other places do in the crowd.
I mean, department. You know, because King and Queen, like, you know, it's the Saudi crowds, you're going to just like they chant their ruthless aggression and attitude era stuff. So you know what you're getting. But
yeah, that's more of a known quantity, I guess, Germany and. You know, I know that it's easy to travel within England, but, you know, sometimes you don't want to, can't, for reasons. No, so the crowds can be different there.
Yeah, and we know how, like, remember Clash of the Castle last year, how loud that crowd was. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
I believe that's 2 years ago now.
Wow, time flies, the pandemic era. So... Yeah, it's kind of like, I want to see what Cleveland does at SummerSlam. So,
you know, I actually completely forgot to look at tickets today. We were thinking about making, the wife and I were thinking about making that a day trip.
Yeah, I saw Steve take a peek and was like, I'm poor, no thanks. So it's one thing about WWE tickets is kind of like they have been selling like hotcakes, so they have been under no obligation to make them affordable. So
what? I forget. Someone made this smart-ass comment to me like, oh, not to me. It was to one of my buddies that I know up in Cleveland. He's like, nah, I don't have $300 to spend on a cheap seat. And I'm like, oh yeah, if cheap seats are $300. I'm good watching this thing at home.
I mean, it probably would be. No, like I probably remember, like I was gonna go to Royal Rumble, and a seat that used to be $300 was like $1,000, and I was like, I don't like wrestling that much. Like I like wrestling, and I'm glad it's hot, but I don't like it. If I'm spending that, it's a WrestleMania. Other than that, no thanks. But speaking of Backlash. Okay, it was a lot of feedback. I was waiting for that to go away. But no, that women's triple threat match was just... I feel like Michael Cole when he was with Taz.
Yeah,
so, I was meant to say, I am so glad Naomi got the love that she got, because it's always felt like she's been there for a long time and she's always been appreciated, but kind of like underappreciated. And to see that crowd treat her like a movie star was just wow. And I know she was almost like tearing up, because it was like they treated her like a big ass deal with her entrance.
Everyone that had a fun entrance, the crowd just enhanced it. Like, because sometimes, there is not a whole lot of dancing going on in the crowd for Naomi's entrance. Like, she's like trying to pump it up, but again, Leon, not a problem.
Yeah, like she pumped up the crowd and they enhanced the entrance. And it was a wild dynamic because it was a triple threat match with the two baby faces liking each other. And neither one of them liking the heel. Like, I cannot remember the last time two babyfaces hit a finishing move on a heel just to get her out the match because they hate her so much. And Tiffany Stratton is weird because she's a great heel, but fans like her.
She has certainly gotten her fair share of cheers pretty much from introduction.
Like, she's like Rob Van Dam when he got to WWE is like, yeah, he's part of the Alliance, but he's just Rob Van Dam. Like, people did not want to boo RVD because he's so damn cool. And, like, Tiffany's not doing anything to be chair. She is acting like a prick, and people don't care. It's like, yeah, we know you're a hell, but you're awesome. So we're going to chant for you.
That is exactly it. It's kind of funny to see... Yeah, she is doing nothing to encourage this behavior, but it persists.
Yeah, I have a good feeling that she'll probably win Money in the Bank. It would make sense because it's like she's a star, and the only thing you're waiting on is like if you don't give it to her too soon. But it's like she got the talent, and everybody knows she had the talent. She has the look, so it's like one of those when you saw Kurt Angle, like when you know, and it's like with her. We know, like, she hasn't been there that long, but you don't have to wait 4 years to realize that she's awesome. Like, no, she is awesome, and she's ready. And the only thing she had to work on was her presentation. Her presentation since she's been on SmackDown is awesome. Like, I'm this mean-ass muscle girl that people just like. And I always laugh. Like, you can tell when they have promos and stuff, and I know it's, like, part of the show, people do not like the other women do not like her at all. Like, I just laugh at her interactions with Naomi, Bianca Belair, Bailey, and Jay Cargill. Like, they can't stand her. It just add a great dynamic because it's like it's wild where we talked about this match. We barely brought up Bailey.
Well, it's kind of Bailey's in a weird spot to me still, where she didn't really do anything to become a babyface in a lot of ways. Like, everyone kept on going, you know, hey, like, she really screwed over a lot of people, and, like, she never made the save for someone, you know, on the other side to prove that she's, you know, a good guy now. But then everyone is kind of going, holy shit, Bailey has been around and has been doing all this shit and she deserves it. Like, because I think that she's kind of getting this hindsight praise at this point now, too, for all the work that she did do during the pandemic era and since then.
And they played organically because it's like it went from... We're cheering for Bailey because we know what she went through and she deserves it. So, but other baby faces haven't forgotten how she acted. Because, like, Bianca Belair is still like, Naomi might like you because y'all friends. I don't like you. I ain't like you before. I still don't like you. I got my eye on you.
Yep. Do not blame Bianca at all.
And that dynamic play out where it's like, Bailey also understands because it's kind of like, she has been in Bianca's shoes, but she's also been in her shoes. So, like, that's the best thing about WWE is, like, they treat wrestlers like grown-ups. Where it's like, just because you turn babyface don't mean we forgot how you used to act and how you did. And just because the crowd's cheering for you just gonna mean I'm gonna cheer for you. Like, if we had beef and we didn't work it out, we still have that beef. It's funny because Bailey and Naomi are friends and they had the match, like, we're going to fight. We'll be friends beforehand. We'll be friends afterwards. No big deal. Because, like, Bailey went on a roll-up. And Naomi is like, yeah, you barely got me. Anything like that. And it's like, you got me. I show you. They shook hands. Hugged. It didn't feel phony. It felt like two friends who had a fight. Somebody won. She ain't cheat to win. I'll live to fight another day.
Yeah. And you can always play the I want a one-on-one match.
Yes.
Which would not be surprising if either and or both Tiffany Stratton and Naomi get a singles match at some point in the near future.
Yeah. So speaking of one-on-one matches, Mr. Rockstar Jey Uso and, you know, Mr. Puerto Rican Undertaker himself, Damian Priest. I'm still getting used to Damian Priest being champion. Not that it doesn't fit. It just still feels weird. Because we just made fun of him like he ain't never going to cash it in. And then he cashed it in and he's champ. And now they're doing the whole Undertaker thing like, I want to fight with respect and honor.
I mean, if Rhea Ripley's injury came at a good time for anyone, it was Damian Priest. You know, because I guess you can tell, it seems like they're going to tell a breakup story of Judgment Day.
Yeah, you can see how, you can see the pieces. Like, it's funny how it kind of started pre-WrestleMania with Andrade getting involved. And like, Dominic is like, that's cool. And Air Boss is like, we don't know you like that. And then it's kind of like JD tired of getting beat up. Finn is kind of looking like, you know, why don't we go after the tag titles? And Damian's like, eh, you know, we'll be all right. And then Damian Priest is like, I fight my own fights. I don't need y'all to help. And it's like, y'all been jumping people for 2 years. Now all of a sudden you're like, I want to do things the right way. But I'm Finn Balor, I'm looking at you funny too. Like, you get some money and now you're acting, you get the title and you acting brand new.
Oh, yeah, it's been kind of a little bit of a shift for Damian Priest with the championship on his shoulder. But you can also understand, just because in general, the Money in the Bank champion has been like a, hey, you're a joke because this is how you want it that way. So you can kind of understand at least some of his motivation in this in this plot.
Yeah, like the baby faces are always kind of like, it's somebody that we wanted to win. So when they cash in, it's like, I'm glad. I don't care how they did it. They did it. So kudos. But it helps because it's like, when it's a, like, it's like a Daniel Bryan, CM Punk cashing in on somebody like Mark Henry or Kane or Big Show or some, like a monster. It's easy to cheer for that. Normally, it's the heel, kind of like, oh, he took the easy way out, and now you got to prove yourself. But it's like, Damian Priest don't really got to, like, he may, I guess he feel like he has to prove himself, but it's like, he's been beating people for a while. They've been booking him strong for, like, for quite a while. So it's just a weird dynamic where it's like, Rhea Ripley went through the same thing. Like, I'm a heel, but we about to have a pay-per-view in Australia. And I know y'all horny for me, so I'm going to be a baby face for like a month because I'm fighting Nia Jax. And as soon as we get back, I'm going to go back to being a heel. And it's like they, both her and Damian Priest has an on-off switch where they can be baby faces or heel. Finn has it too, but Finn just enjoys being a dick.
Oh my God. Yeah, you can really tell that he's had a lot of fun in... I don't know what stage of the Judgment Day he started to have a good time, but he is clearly having a good time at the current moment.
Yeah, like he's just enjoying himself. Like, I'm a asshole heel. I'm having fun. And it's not this whole, well, he deserved more. It's like, he don't care. The checks are coming. He don't got nothing to prove in WWE. He has been there for a long time. He is living his life. And everything you heard is kind of like, I ain't going nowhere. Like, all the people talking about contracts, like, either I'm signed with WWE, I'm chilling at home. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm not going anywhere. So,
and yeah, that's the one thing when people were talking about free agents, and I'm like, yeah, WWE seems to be locking up all of their people here, guys. You can talk about Will Ospreay and Okada signings and all, but you know, retaining Finn, what?
Drew, Becky. I know, like, Becky and Seth was coming up. They're going to, you know, Kevin Owens is like, yeah, my contract coming up in 8 months. Well, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, he's already like, yeah, I'm signing a new one. Like, guys, I'm covered.
Yeah. Like, Cody said the same thing. It was like basically what you hear from people is like, I'm going to retire here. You know, like, I'm not going anywhere because I'm happy here. Like, they had a good match. Like, one thing you can say about Jey Uso is, like, you know, not fighting, like, besides fighting Jimmy, he tends to hold his own in singles matches. And it's just funny just saying that, and it doesn't feel, like, surprising because he was a tag team specialist for so long.
They have done an incredible job of making him a credible baby face at that level pretty quickly. honestly. Like, I mean, he's had the losses, you know, unfortunately for him, he's kind of lost the big matches. But, I mean, he was one of the few people that I looked at when he was fighting Gunther that I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they decided to make this switch right here. You know, and not that I really thought that he was going to beat Damian Priest, but when you throw in the shenanigans from the rest of Judgment Day, you know, you're giving Jay a pass, and there's a reason you're giving him a pass.
Like, people like Jay because they appreciate his story. He has an awesome entrance. And even when he loses big matches, always because somebody interferes, whether the Judgment Day or the damn Bloodline. Like, I can't remember the last time he lost clean without somebody just jumping in. So the crowd sees that too. And it's like, sooner or later, you got to put a belt on him. Because it's kind of like, you get to a point. Like him and LA not in the same boats where they're insanely popular. They win. But it's like, if you're not going to put the world title on him, you got to put something on him. Because otherwise, it kind of gets this whole... What's taking so long?
Yeah, that's the only thing that they... Those are probably the only two people that they have a... this, how long is this taking kind of a situation, at least right now.
Yeah. So, like, because I remember LA Knight popped up on SmackDown. Yes, France loves LA Knight. Just in case people wasn't surprised by that. Oh, and kudos to, like, you know, they have established Samantha Irvin. Like, you are our primary ring announcer. If there was any doubt, like, yes, when we travel, you are traveling and you're going to be there. And they love, like, France loves Samantha. Samantha is the best in the business. I don't care. Like, I know there's some people that complain about certain things.
I've laughed about some of those complaints. Just like, oh, she's too into her job. And it's just like, I just sit there and blink and look at them.
Yeah, like, there's a problem now. She enjoys her job. Like she said, I don't want to know who wins, so it comes off surprise when they win, so it adds to my performance. That sounds like a professional to me.
Yeah, it sounds like she wants to do a good job. Like, what?
And she does an amazing job.
Yeah. Yeah, the WWE really has a lot of good ring announcers. Like, I don't really have a problem with Mike Rome, and I really like... Alicia Taylor in NXT.
Well, guess what? You're going to like Alicia Taylor out of NXT because she got a promotion.
Oh.
She's doing SmackDown now.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, Mike Rome is doing NXT. He's going back to NXT. So keep that money less traveling.
Hey.
Yes, two black women being the lead announcers in WWE in 2024. And it's like, oh, well, they're the best, so it makes sense. It's like, if somebody would have told you that 5 years ago, you'd have been like, no, okay. But I brought that as a point because it leads into the tag match. Let me tell you something right now. When I see Bianca Belair, I see Jade Cargill, I'm like, so if the X-Men were real life, they would look like this?
I like how somehow, like, A, Bianca was never out of shape, but B, she's like, oh, Jade Cargill's coming, I'm gonna add like 5 to 10 pounds of muscle and get even more abs. And it's like,
yes,
okay, sure, whatever.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I gotta make sure I don't look sloppy, because Jade Cargill's one of the few people that looks as that can compete with me at the body level, which is insane, because we talk about how Bianca Belair was champion. Like, you know what? I'm gonna enter a bodybuilding contest because I'm bored while I'm champion.
And like, I'm making my own ring gear still.
Yeah. And it's like, she, like, having her basically be Jay's mentor and help her is just amazing, because it's like, Bianca has been through those shoes. And when, like, they had an awesome match, like, kudos to Asuka, because you tell Asuka's hurt, and she was gutting it out, and she definitely took one for the team. And Kyrie is the most unserious person. Like, Mark Henry, he just need to let that go.
He has a beef with...
He complained at, I think it was WrestleMania, that she didn't exit the ring fast enough when Naomi, Bianca, and Jay had their entrance. Talking about, why is she out there dancing? Why out there having fun? It was disrespectful. And everybody basically jumped on his neck like, what is wrong with you? So
I think that was one of those things that, she's entertainment. Like, I don't even know any other way to put it. Like, she's entertainment. She's great in the ring. And holy smokes, like, that's one of those things where it actually kind of works to have, what's her name? Is there, Dakota Kai is the mouthpiece talking trash in that situation. Like, they're actually using a manager somewhat that, in a proper that
can also
role.
Yeah, that can also wrestle. Like, she can fight when she needs to fight, and like, yeah, it helped where she was able to slide in and take Asuka's spot because Asuka's was out. So like, Dakota Kai, beside being a crash test dummy, people forget that she can kind of wrestle her ass off.
Yeah, she is awesome. And I don't know who did that, because that was another thing that I definitely saw in the X, where it was like all of Dakota Kai's bumps, like,
yeah, I saw that.
And I'm just like, oh my. I was like, you know, I knew that I really liked her, but I'm not sure that I remembered all this selling, just because, I mean, she's been technically back from the injury for what, like 3 months, and she's probably wrestled a handful of times.
Yeah, I forgot. I saw that clip too, and I was laughing. I was like, oh, I forgot some of these, especially that stuff with Shayna Baszler. So I'm like, yeah, Shayna in NXT is like, she was actually hurting people. So, but no, that match went a lot longer than I thought it was going to go. That tag match.
The Wikipedia is saying 17 and a half minutes here. So yeah, that was pretty wild. I knew that Asuka was injured, but people are just like, I can't believe she gutted out that match. Do you know what the injury was?
I think she hurt her knee, but like before WrestleMania, like, because they had like some type of tag match and she landed wrong, like on a Raw or SmackDown, like a while ago. And
oh, okay,
I know. Like, she was limping around, and they were saying, like, she's hurt, but, like, how Drew was gutting it out, she was gutting it out, too, and how Seth was gutting it out. Like, they have a lot of people that are injured right now, like, that got injured, like, around WrestleMania time. It's like, we're going to take one for the team. And I only noticed because I know how fast Asuka normally goes. Like, Asuka wasn't doing a lot of running around. Like, it was kind of, like, a lot of ground-based stuff, and Kyrie was creating the movement. I will say this, seeing Jay Cargill do a springboard fly, like a springboard crossbody, and it was like, it didn't even look like, it seemed like it was CGI because she's so damn big, and it still looked like she just hit them perfectly. And I was like, so she can do this, huh? She's athletic. She just don't have muscles. And Sean, she's athletic. Yeah, Tony Khan, you had that, huh?
Yeah, all the AEW stands would be like, man, they didn't drop the ball on her. And I'd be like, okay, sure, guys.
Uh-huh. You know, she can't really wrestle right. That's why she don't take any bumps. I was like, she was taking bumps to that match, and they threw her in the deep waters. And her and Bianca's a tag team. I'm like, unless somebody cheat, ain't nobody beating them.
It feels like long-running opinion here. The only people that are going to stop those two are those two when someone turns on someone else.
Yeah, like the only tag team that could go toe-to-toe with them, and it's like from a size, and only speaks in size, is Tiffany Stratton and like Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Cause
you need to do a super team like that.
Yeah, because Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax being road dogs and best friends is not something I would have guessed, but they are. They both have Karen personalities, so I guess it fits. But it's one thing I have realized, like, it is wild where it's like everybody for the most part kind of friendly, but it's like you can tell it's like friend clusters, like who are like really friends compared to who, like, the SmackDown locker room seem like they get, like, the women seem like they all get along, because I've seen them in everybody meeting each other TikToks. So, especially like post-draft. So, but no, it's kind of like seeing, but no, Bianca is like awesome. And I knew she was awesome because she's awesome. But if you weren't sure, when they had the post of like the next four pay-per-views, she was on all of them. And she was the only one on all of them. It was like her and Becky Lynch are basically like the John Cena of the women division. It's like they know what they have with Becky, and they definitely know what they have with Bianca Belair. And it's kind of like, yes, you are a star. And you are special, and we're gonna treat you special so you don't abandon us to go to Hollywood. We're gonna try to have you here for as long as you can. But it was definitely a fun match. It's just wild where the baby faces have the size and strength advantage, and the heels are kind of like have like the experience and speed advantage. It's like, you know, you're watching a Rock and Roll Express fight the Steiner brothers, and you're rooting for the Steiner brothers. Like, it just feels bullish.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot that you're going to be able to do about that. But the dastardly tricks of those two Japanese ladies, it always helps add to the drama of things.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the tag team moves they pull out, because that, what was it, a DDT into a springboard German suplex that they pull off? And Bianca like used her feet to like propel the German suplex. It's like, you have strong women, they can basically do nonsense like that. And it's kind of like, what you want to do against the X-Men? Like, you see what Bianca Belair looks like, and you see what Jade Cargill looks like. Like, and Jade Cargill pulled out that same move with Sky Blue where she caught Kairi Sane, flipped, you know, in the powerbomb position. Oh, after like blocking like a hurricanrana, flipped her over, caught her in midair, and then hit her finisher. And you could tell the crowd picked up on what happened, and they jumped up and said, I'm like, that takes a lot of strength and coordination, especially after you've been wrestling for like 12 minutes and you tired. And she pulled that all flawlessly. And Kyrie was like, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm a pixie pirate. Why are you bullying me, lady?
Oh, but again, another great part of Kairi Sane, that that woman sells like $1 million also. And you could tell that she was doing her part there to not sandbag.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Jay don't need the help.
She doesn't, but...
But it helps to have help, but it's like, yeah. I was not worried about that.
Yeah. But that finish was, I was just like, God damn, man. Like you said, like it's just eye popping to watch what the women's division has in the athletics department. Like it is wild.
They have mutants. Cause I'm watching how they about to have the NXT North American Women's Championship. Like, yeah, we're going to start with a combine. And I'm like, of course NXT would do that, you know, because it's like, it's just funny how they did the women's title on Raw, where it's like, we're going to have a battle royal because we don't have time to drag this out. So whoever wins NXT is like, oh, we got time. We're going to drag this out. Like, we're going to treat this like a whole sporting event. So the main event.
Yeah.
I don't know how AJ Styles did not break character. The ring, the camera was, they were cheering so hard, the camera was shaking. I have never seen that before in my, and not no Kevin Dunn thing, like, I'm going to say some poor nonsense, like, no, the building was shaking. Like, they, because I guess it's like, it's a phenomenal song chant thing that's big in France, and because I was like, why are they doing this? Because they was doing it a couple times, and they announced AJ Styles, and, you know, Samantha Irvin did the AJ Styles thing, and they start singing that song, and you see the hard camera start shaking, and everybody jumping up and down, and they just standing there like, stone-faced. He didn't break character at all. And I'm like, he better than me. I would have cracked a smile.
He's better than most of the WWE roster in that department. Because, with the way everyone described that crowd and the way that I heard it, I mean, yeah, it was just wild. just wild how bonkers they were going for everyone.
If he felt like the Beatles. And then not only the crowd chant, like the crowd is basically doing the whole ring announce. Like, we know how much you weigh. We know what country you're from Atlanta. Like, Samantha's doing the ring announcer, and the crowd is going word for word like it's Paul Heyman. And they treated Cody Rhodes like a million. Now, like, they had an awesome match. Like, people were wondering kind of like, what would Cody Rhodes do post Roman Reigns? Have great matches with great wrestlers. That's what he's going to do. One thing I learned about Cody Rhodes is kind of like, I don't know how good a wrestler he is, but I know that he never looks embarrassed in the ring, no matter who he wrestles. So I guess that's the mark of a great wrestler. You can hang with anybody. He was hanging with AJ Styles, and it didn't seem out of place.
He has really pulled it off for a while now. Because, I mean, even most of his matches in AEW were good to great.
Yeah, and it's like, he was never Mr. Work Rate. He just became that. I guess you have an experience in, like, it helps where they're similar size. Like, even though AJ looking the way he looks in his 40s still seems weird, because it's like, he looks like if Jesus started doing CrossFit instead of going on the cross.
It is wild how much muscle he has added since his injury.
Yeah, and like, you know, so he can kind of, but still wrestle the same way he was wrestling, just looks more impactful. And yep. Cody, like, you know, I don't know if that top rope Cody come. Like, yeah, you can retire that, because even when it works, it just looks so damn goofy. And most of the time, it looks like it's not going to work. But he pulled it off. They had an awesome match. They had a great pay-per-view. And, like, that crowd, like, I cannot stress how amazing that crowd was. Like, it was just from top to bottom. Like, this feels, and you know what everybody's saying? Imagine hearing that crowd, and then you go to America, they just chant, what? Like, that's just like, now we gotta go back to the ghetto. And it was like, yeah, I mean, that's, and it's not gonna get any, like, you know, Saudi is what it is, but like, you're gonna be in Toronto, you're gonna be in Germany, you're gonna be in, Are they going to be in Scotland?
Yeah, it's Scotland this time.
Yeah, it's like, and now other crowds like, we're going to let the French make us look bad. So it's like, yes. I know they, and then they start talking about, you know, London was like, I mean, you saw what France can do. Imagine what we can do. Like, we can show y'all something. Because I saw Triple H just like, you know, saw you got reelected. You talking about, you know, you want to have WrestleMania in London. You throw us the money, you have some talk. Like, sooner or later, they're going to have one.
With as international as just even their pay-per-view schedule is at this point, it would be shocking if they don't do WrestleMania somewhere, you know, in a foreign country.
It's going to be London. Like, they have shown they get crowds. Like, AEW gets their best crowds in London. This, like, this, they treat their All-In as kind of like their WrestleMania. And it's kind of like, it's feasible. And as you see, with, like, they don't have a problem changing WrestleMania around. Because I know everybody said, oh, I don't know how they're going to handle the cold in Minnesota. You know how they handle it? We're not going to Minnesota. we're gonna go to Vegas, and we're gonna move it back by 3 weeks.
Oh man, yeah, I forgot about that news popping up in the meantime here. I mean, that kind of seems like one of those I feel like the NFL has adopted that. Like, one of the last Northern Super Bowls, I feel like, was the Steelers one where they beat the Seahawks in Detroit. Like, they're just like, nah, we're going to warm weather locations from now on.
Yeah, like I remember the Eagles.
This is stupid.
You know, when Eagles play the Patriots in Minnesota, and everybody like, it's a dome, but what you going to do in Minnesota in February? So I'd be cold. And I know the complaints, like, people complained about Philly. It was like, yeah, it was cold and it rained day one. That's why the crowd was sucked. They was freezing. And I'm like, and all you had to do is realize, like, day two when they had warm weather, the crowd was awesome. And it was like, yep. Yeah. It's like having WrestleMania in an open air stadium in the Northeast in early April is just asking for trouble. Because I remember when going to New Jersey and it rained. It sucked.
Well, and the funny thing, even moving it up that couple of weeks, or back the couple of weeks and going to the 19th and the 20th there, you're still not guaranteeing anything in that territory. I went to some cold soccer matches this very year around those dates in Columbus here, because that's one of those, hey, like the venues that they're doing, would they ever do Columbus? I'm like, nah, I doubt it. Like, there's the venue here. If they'd ever want to do Ohio Stadium, like, they could do it if they wanted to for WrestleMania. Is it going to happen? Nah.
Yeah, somebody's talking about, oh, will WrestleMania ever be in Louisville? I'm like, no. Like, yeah. they are doing warm, like, they are doing warm weather cities from now on. Like, unless, like, New York might be the exception, even in this, I seriously doubt that. I think they kind of like, especially if you move in an, like they basically moved away, like we're not going to compete with the Final Four and we're not going to compete with the draft. So we got that whole weekend to ourselves. And it's like, I always wonder, like, you can move, like, you can make the schedule any way you want. So I'm surprised it took that long, but it's like kind of like WWE is like, wait a second. We don't have to do that old school shit no more. Like, we're doing one. We're big time.
Yeah, that's one of those filed under maybe it was a Vince McMahon quirk that everyone's like, hey, like, we're not really tied to this weekend, right, guys? Like, we can just kind of move it around. We're like, yeah, we can. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's like, I remember, like, especially people talking, people at the Final Four is like, it wasn't the men's Final Four they was worried about. It was the women's Final Four. And that becoming a thing is definitely like through a wrench, because it's kind of like, I've been paying attention to it. Like, now they're going to finally get chartered jets so the players don't get, you know, harassed flying in coach with the ham and eggers. And it's like, women's basketball becoming this big thing in like 2 years has definitely shown that there's a market for stuff if you invest in it. And WWE showed that with the women, because it's kind of like, it started with the women's revolution, but it got to a point where it's like, The women, especially NXT, the women run stuff. Like, they tend to have the best storyline. They, like, the women's, like, because I'm watching NXT now, it's like, the women's NXT roster is the deepest roster of any division in any wrestling. And it's not even close.
And they took, what, 3 women out of the division?
Mm-hmm.
4?
Yeah, they got 5 more coming up. Like, it'll be somehow level up. Like, who's this? Oh, she was, you know, she was the discus champion of Spain. And now she's wrestling. Because I'm watching Carmen Petrovic wrestle Shayna Baszler, and Lola Vice is in Shayna's corner and Natty is in Carmen's corner. It's like, yeah, they having women go from Raw SmackDown to NXT.
I'm assuming it's helping I do think that it helps pretty much everyone involved, honestly. Like, Natalia always looks like a bigger deal when she's in NXT because the crowd reacts that well to her.
They treat her like a legend, because we joke about her. Like, she has been there for a long time. And whenever they need somebody to put up a great match, they put her in there. And, like, she's reached, like, that Miz part where it's like, you the man. We know you the man. Everybody love you. Everybody respect you.
That tour has definitely been ongoing here for a few months. I think predating WrestleMania. Where, because I think, I should look it up, but I think she hit her 15-year mark with the WWE. It's just like, holy smokes, like, that is wild. There definitely is no woman that has had that long of a career. No, with the, like, company.
Women normally make it, if they make 6-7 years, is normally a wrap. Or like when they have a baby. Because they normally, because it's funny, like, you know, normally it's like we last 6 years, 7 years, then we retire because we're at a certain age, or we retire because we have a baby. And Natty's been there like 15. It's like, she a lifer. And the wild thing about it is, like, she still, like, she looks, like, she still looks, I won't say she looked the same, she looked better. She can still wrestle. And it's just weird, where it's like, she could be there, like, 5-6 more years. It won't seem out of place.
No, not at all. And yeah, she debuted April 4th on a SmackDown in 2008.
Wow. That's a long time.
And she was signed in 2007. So that is something else.
Kudos to her, because she's earned it. And Shayna in NXT is like, they remember the Reign of Terror she had in NXT, so they treat her like a big deal anyway.
Yeah, that's and I would hope that the older women's wrestlers are helping out the newbies here. I'm assuming that is what the currency exchange.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing my ass off because Shayna just tapped out Carmen, and Lola came and congratulated and started shaking ass and dancing. Shayna's like, "Ugh, not this nonsense."
man, yeah, Shayna's another one that she has been, to me, on a bit of an amusing roll where, yeah, she can show her disgust at other heels, and it really works. Yeah,
because it's just a funny dynamic, because they both can fight in real life, and they're beyond that. That's the only thing they have in common, is that they both. Because Lola's like, I'm going to knock you out and then shake my ass and dance. And Shayna's looking at like, do you really have to do all that? Can't we just fight?
Well, and I liked when she was training her before the NXT Underground match last week. And Shayna's like, you know, Natty's pretty good at submission. Don't you think you should work on your ground game at all? And especially knowing since that is more of Shayna's actual game. And Lola's like, nah, I'm just going to knock her out. Don't worry about it.
Which she basically did, more or less. And it's like Natty lost because, you know, she wanted to look out for Carmen. That match, like, I watched that NXT Underground match. That match, them women were fighting. And it was just kind of like, that being a main event just fits, and that being like, they built that storyline up for like, what, a month?
Close to 5 weeks.
And it was like, they using Natty perfectly, kind of like, she had been down there. She, you know, as I see, they doing the combine training. I'm getting distracted. NXT Women's Comp up next. And, you know, I was going to talk about Raw. Man, forget Raw. Like, Raw was. The only thing that stood out for me was Raw was that Sheamus Gunther match from King of the Ring. Everything else was just kind of like there. But no, NXT, I have realized, has been my love for a long time. And they've just continued, like, the fact that HBK tweeted that Drake and Kendrick Lamar was like, yeah, y'all want to settle this down to NXT, y'all can come on down. So as I see them getting ready for the combine, this is wild, because we talked about, like, they have somebody like Tatum Paxley that plays like a scary golf, and then you remember, oh yeah, she deadlifts 400 pounds.
Dear Lord.
Because she used to do the whole diamond mine thing. It's like, yes, she started off being a muscle mom with Ivy Nile before she put the spooky makeup on.
I forgot about that. Completely forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, as I see them running, and it's like they have so many women that just kind of like, yeah, you know, I got a PhD in this, and I'm a fourth degree black belt, and I'm a gymnast, and I'm a sprinter, and I'm a long jump champion. And it's kind of like, you just can't be this whole, I came off the streets and I'm just gonna work it out.
Yeah, Roxanne Perez is the last one where I wanted to be a wrestler, so I became a wrestler.
Look, I can tell by how Roxanne Perez is built. It's like, yes, she is an athlete. You do not have legs like that just, you know, sitting on the couch.
Yeah, she works out a little bit.
And I see them doing sprints, and they just doing jumps and sled pushes. It's like, yes. I know people kind of frown their face the whole performance center thing, and like, is that going to work? And it's like, take beautiful college athletes that want to wrestle and put them there. And it's like, it's the X-Men.
Yeah, like I, when they mentioned the idea of the combine, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. I'm here.
Because
like,
I was,
I've kind of tapped out of the NFL one, but I'm like, I'm okay watching these mutants in NXT's women's division do just completely ludicrous stuff.
Because I remember when they had, they had the live, it was like on the network they had one, and I remember what stood out was kind of like, basically Bianca Belair was like the best in almost everything.
Yes, this was also unsurprising news when when it was announced.
Just like, oh, and I think for the men, it was one of the Creeds and somebody else that was just kind of like just amazed. Like they just have, they have mutants. Like, you know, you see somebody like Ariana Grace, and yes, that's Santino's daughter, and yes, she is the master of jokes, and with her and Chelsea Green are the tag team, they're going to have all the damn laughs. But then you realize, oh yeah, she got a black belt in judo. Like, she can actually fight for real, like her daddy.
Well, yeah. And the fact that her gimmick is, I don't want anyone to fight, and that I'm not going to acknowledge that I fight for a living.
Yeah, like, I'll fight if I have to, but let's work, let's talk this out first.
That scene from last week when the giant brawl broke out and she's just screaming in the middle of a ring for everyone to get along, I was just about in tears.
Yeah, she has it. It's like, if you beautiful people that can laugh at themselves, have comedy, will have always have careers in wrestling. It's like, you know, Billy Kay walked so Ariana Grace can run.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. Talk about it. That's. I don't know if that era is completely closed. Like, I mean, I feel like it's impossible to hit on everyone, but I feel like there will be less misses like that.
It's just so many women where you realize, like, if they were under current management, how different their careers would have been. And I even think about, I don't have to go back to like AJ Lee's and the Bellas. Like, somehow, like the Iconics. Like, you ain't got to go that far back. It's like, oh, they'd have been great now. But like before, it's like, well, we don't know what to do with you. It's too much. It's, you don't really hear that too. You don't hear that as much anymore now. It's kind of like, if you can do something, we'll find something for you. Like, we will try as much as we can, unless it's kind of like we got to tighten up the budget. But it's never this whole, I don't know what to do. It's less of that. Somebody has talent, they don't know what to do. Like, it still happens because they just have so many people.
Oh,
but yeah. It's not as egregious as it was before. Like, all I gotta do is, like, look at Chelsea Green. She's gonna have a title match tonight. And I remember the first time Chelsea Green got there, she got fired. And the second time she got there, she's been amazing. Like, Chelsea Green she's somebody else. Like, you know, I look like a model and I have an awesome sense of humor and I'm a crash test dummy.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild. Lance Storm helped turn out some great wrestlers. And yeah, like you said, like when you have the personality, like she's really gotten to show that this run. Like, I'm not sure that even in NXT that previous time with Robert Stone, I don't feel like the full ability of her comedy came out at that time.
Well, it's there now, and people talk about, oh, well, we want to run back the whole Robert Stone thing because, you know, Mr. Wagner, come Tuesday, don't have a job no more. So well, it's kind of like basically fixing sins of the past. And imagine somebody tell you Chelsea Green fighting for the NXT Women title will get people excited. Like, you would have been like, oh, okay. And now it's like, yeah, because she's entertaining. Like, she is enjoyable. And Roxanne Perez just being so damn mad for no damn reason is hilarious.
Yes, it's kind of like having an angry little person, especially when she's got to interact with Ava all the time.
Yeah, and Ava looking like, why are you mad, little girl? You got the title. I was telling you what to happen, but you out here stomping your feet like you didn't get your applesauce. And I didn't know how well Roxanne Perez could be as a heel, but she is very entertaining as this little small, mean, like, it's not fair, y'all. I'm the champ, and you're not appreciating me and all this. And they're like, relax, you're the champ. That's your fault.
I even loved her almost willful ignorance of the draft rules.
Yeah,
I'm glad that Ava was not ignorant of them in the same regard, where she, you know, Roxanne, those like, I can't believe I didn't get picked in the draft. How those other women get picked and I didn't get picked. I'm the champion. And Ava's like, yo, like, you couldn't get picked. Like, that's part of the rules.
You're the champ. He was locked in.
But, you know, I mean, it's a great complaint for someone to have, or just, you know, someone, it's definitely something to feel angry about for almost no reason, essentially.
Yeah, and it just worked, where it's kind of like, you're so damn angry, you don't even know the rules. So you think people are just screwing you. It's like, no, you're not screwing you. Calm down. As I see a second with Chelsea Green, Ariana Grace, and Gigi Dolan in the middle, like, please, somebody shoot me.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to look forward to watching that, because I am double screening some hockey and some basketball at the current moment. So
yeah, I was watching basketball, but it's like just seeing NXT on silent, because it's like, it's just so, the thing about NXT is kind of like, no matter how ridiculous things are, if things get very ridiculous, they always play it with earnest. Like, they're not laughing at us. Like, they're always playing it earnestly. And that's why it works. Because it's kind of like, a lot of this stuff with Down the Damn Vine, it's just kind of like, that's why I think why a lot of NXT stuff didn't work on the main roster, because like, they didn't know how to play it right. And I think now that they do, is why it works a lot better.
Well, and they're also doing the simple things called vignettes on the main roster.
Yes.
Because, I mean, to me, that was one of those, not that anything crazy happened, but I mean, they did have the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring qualifiers, and because I know that Lyra Valkyria got a video package, and who else?
Dragunov
got a video package. It's just like, yeah, don't, you know, the ratings are what they are, you know, like, everyone's paying you for your content, so I mean, I'm assuming you're okay with it. It's just like, you know that the audience doesn't watch NXT as much as Raw and or SmackDown. Like, you need to reintroduce them sometime, you know, at a minimum. And it's just like, stuff like that helps out a lot. Like, I just don't think they tried to bring up the gimmicks and just go, here they are.
Yeah, and, then they change the gimmicks and make them like, they make it like lowest common denominators. Like, I remember having the Street Profits. Street Profits went to the Raw SmackDown, tear the damn crows from Dumbo. And I'm like, this is this shit is garbage. And we used to make jokes about, like, what is this? Like, it's kind of like Vince heard Street Part, and he just ran with that. And it was like, you basically taking away what made them special, and it's like, you just water them down to be this basic ass nonsense, and then you wonder why it didn't work. Like, same way, you know, I know people blame Karrion Kross thing on Adam Cole, basically saying that you are paper champion without the promos and gimmicks, you nothing. But it's like, no, you bring them on there, put them on a Spartacus mask, did not help. Like, you changed everything about, like, you took away his entrance, you took away Scarlet, you had him look like, you know, like a double dragon villain, and then you wonder why the crowd kind of like, I don't know who this guy is. It's like, yeah, you forgot what made him special, like Lyra Valkyria. If I didn't watch NXT, I'm like, who's this woman with the bird feathers? You gotta tell me something about her. Like, you know, I need to know who she, and they do that. They have a vignette, she does this, she's like that, she beat Becky Lynch. And there, dragging off the same thing. Like, hardcore fans are going, no, but it's like, Why do I need to be afraid of this angry ass Russian if you don't tell me the reason?
Yeah, and Michael Cole being intelligent about the product helps too. Like, I'm not sure if Vince made him play dumb per se.
Yes, he did.
But like, it really helps when Michael Cole is the one selling your talents from NXT, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh my God, like Michael Cole is putting over Valkyria and Dragunov, you know, just talking about how dominant they were in NXT. And I mean, that helps a million percent.
Because people may not, I think people accept this point, like Michael Cole is basically Jim Ross as far as with WWE, all like he's been doing it long enough and he has enough respect where it's like when Michael Cole says stuff, people won't pay attention to it. And just in case you're wondering, like, it was a Vince thing. I'm watching a title match and I'm hearing Michael Cole bring up like the fact that, you know, AJ Styles beat Dusty Rhodes for the NWA title and now he's wrestling his son for the world title. It ain't a snowball's chance of hell if this man would ever let that line ever be uttered on his television. And it's like, this man brought up a TNA title match to elevate a WWE title match. A title match that happened a long ass time ago, where it's like, how many people even remember that match? And he used that as a storyline thing. And I'm like, yeah, we're in a different era. Like, in case people were realizing, we are in a different era where it's like, yes, we know y'all watch other stuff and they've talked about working with other companies and doing other things. But like, you know, the world is a lot smaller than it used to be. And it's kind of like, we know these companies exist, so why pretend like they don't?
I mean, the only one that they really don't openly acknowledge is AEW.
Yeah, they've announced it like once. Like, I think Sami Zayn cut a promo about it one time.
Yeah.
Mentioned a lot, like, but everybody else get mentioned. So, oh, there go Roxanne complaining again. I can't even hear her. I can tell by the face she making. She just rolling her eyes, like, about something. So, but, it's Ariana Grace about the Russell Meechan. Oh, funny thing. They was like, oh, we didn't know she was showing up. Like, the other wrestlers didn't realize Meechan was going to be NXT last week. Because they weren't told. They was like, it was supposed to be, they gave him a different name, so they expected to be somebody else. He's like, well, what are you doing here? And like, you never know who's going to show up in Florida.
Yeah, there are, I think Jeremy and I talked about it last week, where there are definitely still some Vince McMahon-isms hanging around the company. Like, it isn't completely out of there. The whole let him be actually surprised in real time to get a real reaction thing is 100% alive and well.
Yeah, because I don't mind, because it actually had the surprise, like when Tonga Loa show up and everybody was like, I didn't even know he signed. And that's like, that's the point. We didn't want you to know. It was kind of like, you know, like I miss, like, you know, I'm not a hypocrite. So it's kind of like, I don't complain too much because I'm online a lot. But it's kind of like one of the great ideas about the old days was like, when somebody showed up, it was a surprise. Like before the current era, like Shane McMahon showing up out of nowhere was like the last time I was like truly surprised. So I was like, I had no damn clue. Like, but beyond that, it's kind of like, for the most part, you got a general inkling that you might have heard something. But now it's like, especially with this whole stop listening to these dumbass dirt sheet attitude that Triple H has, it's kind of like he's trying to keep himself tight to the vest, because he's like, I'm not dealing with you bozos if I don't have to.
Oh man, yeah, that was kind of a wild story. I felt like we were not lumped into the dirt sheets, so I mean, I guess that's a positive, right?
Hey, you gonna ask me a question, though, we don't be quoting people like Fightful, quote some real people. I was like, damn, brother. I didn't know what it was like. I know why you had to be so mean.
The Fightful comment was the one that caught my attention the most over the weekend. Yeah. I'm like, that's another one where I'm like, I don't feel like paying attention this much, guys. And then I'm like, you're going to make me fucking pay attention this much, aren't you?
No, Drew Gulak wasn't released. We just didn't re-sign him.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I mean, you can understand why they asked that. Like, that Ronda Rousey story came out. He said what he said. Then in NXT, the D'Angelo family basically murdered him. And then you say he got released. Of course they're going to ask, well, they have anything to do with the Ronda Rousey thing? Oh, well, you know, people don't get, you know, stuff. People don't get renewed all the time. Why? You say I fired him. It's just his contract ran out. It just happened to be around this time. What you want me to say? It's like, I don't expect them to ask honestly, but these Triple H press conferences, like, he always answers stuff in the worst possible way, which is endearing because it's just hilarious. Like, if he's going to say something stupid, he's going to say something like both stupid and insulting at the same time. And I guess he can't help himself, but it's like, I treat it as high comedy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I have hearing those ones, those are good, bad in that kind of way. And there are just some others that have been real groaners. So yeah. Again, some things about Vince McMahon will still hang around. Triple H is going to make his own level of buffoonery on his on his own behalf.
Yeah, you know, old habits die hard. He was under him for a long time. Oh, Ariana Grace, she don't got the knee brace anymore. So kudos to her. Yeah, like I said, you're not really an NXT diva until you blow out an ACL.
Oh my gosh. Like, what's a Nikita Lyons? I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, talk about some bad luck. Like,
her and Cora Jade.
Well, just, I felt more bad for Lyons just because it was a different injury, wasn't it? Like, she didn't blow out two ACLs. It was something else. Was it a shoulder injury or something that had kept her out for a while? And then she comes back for like a month and blows out her ACL. It's like, oh, man. But yeah, her and Cora doing the Instagram poses of making blown ACLs sexy or whatever it was. I'm just like, well, you're not wrong.
It's not an NXT thing. It's a woman athlete thing. It's kind of like, though, their physiology is different. Whereas, like, if you don't strengthen the hamstring and quads and like the supporting muscles, and you doing that wild stuff, it's like, oh, how sore could blow her ACL? You see what she doing? Like, how do you think? Yeah, Nikita Lyons is like Bam Bam Bigelow doing spin kicks. Of course you're gonna blow an ACL. Like, it's like, and it's like, even if you say that Cora Jade's not doing anything wild, like sometimes she just, you know, Shotzi jumped off the apron and blew hers out just by jumping down from the apron. Like, sometimes stuff just damn happens.
I mean, on the other one on the mail end that I keep on reference here recently, Adam Cole jumps down from a ramp to the floor and just evidently turns his ankle into liquid. It's just like, what? Yes, shit just happens sometimes.
Yeah, and like, you know.
I do think that at least, like, because I felt like I saw a Yahoo article about, oh, why are all these women athletes blowing out ACLs? And I'm like, look, guys, maybe this is just because I was born in the 70s, but I'm just going to say there weren't this many women athletes before. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Fabulous Moolah wasn't doing moonsaults. So it's kind of like, and unless they're Japanese and it's like they're all invincible, or they die in the ring, it's like, yeah, if you Americans and you wrestle, because like women got hurt, like Victoria blew out her ACL, she never got it fixed. Like, I can't take out time, I'm just gonna wear a brace for the rest of my life. It's kind of like, you know, Lita blew out hers before, like Trish broke ankles, like women got hurt. It's, you know, yeah. It's just like, now, if you up in the athleticism, because it's not just a women thing, it's a men thing too. It's just noticed a lot more with the women because they just have so many. And it's just kind of like, they do have so many women. Like, you bring up Nikita Lyons, I just kind of feel bad for her because, like, by the time she shows up again, I just hope she don't get left behind. Like, she's still extremely young. I just hope she don't get left behind. because it's kind of like they just have so many women from so many different walks of life, where it's kind of like, you know, you were special when you was here, but that's, we don't do that no more. Like, you need to keep up.
I think the looks are always going to keep her with a pretty good fan base, let's say.
Yes. She has a very unique look that's going to stand out, but then you see someone like Jada Parker is like, yes, I have a look too, and I ain't getting hurt, so keep up.
Oh, and isn't she kind of filed under the mutant category too? Yes. Jada Parker?
Hey, she used to play soccer. No. Like, I would have never guessed that by looking at her. Like, yes, she was a college soccer player.
No wonder she has those quads.
Like, it is kind of like, you see her and I'm like, yeah, this type of woman was not signed up for WWE. Like, that looked like that with that type of attitude. Like, this was not a thing, and this is just a thing now. And it's kind of like how Beth Phoenix was like, I was a wrestler because I saw Chyna. And Rhea Ripley was like, I was a wrestler because I saw Beth Phoenix. Now it's going to be like, I saw what Bianca Belair can do, and I want to do that. So we're starting to get that generation.
Yeah, that is wild. Because you can throw Charlotte into that category at a minimum. I mean, I'm not sure she's quite as athletic as the other ones, but still college volleyball is nothing to say.
I mean, it's funny where Charlotte whole thing was, she was probably the most athletic woman they almost ever had, her and Sasha. It's just kind of like, she's been there so long, we kind of take it for granted. But if you sleep on Charlotte, she had ACL surgery, she was doing squats like 3 weeks later, so.
Her recovery videos, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, you're an insane. Like, now she's just like, I think we were questioning, like, what she had to, you know, like, come back for, you know, like, what she had to do just because she'd won the championship so many times. Just like, what's her next goal? And she's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to come back from a major injury. I haven't really done that before. And she's just working out like a fucking psycho.
Man, like,
she's like, yep, I'm ready to come. Like, I'm coming back as soon as this thing's good to go.
Like, she out here doing ladder drills. And I'm like, you blow out like two or three ligaments. Rest. She's like, I don't need to do all that. You know, I ain't going to stay home and cook for my husband. He working. So it's just, and it's kind of like, you can say what you want about Charlotte, but it's like, I would love to see Charlotte versus Tiffany Stratton.
Oh.
Like, basically, ghost of blonde past versus blonde future, because it's kind of like, Tiffany Stratton is basically like, you know, the evolutionary version of Charlotte, which is insane to say, because people forget, like, yeah, Tiffany Stratton used to be a gymnast, and then she was a bodybuilder, and then she wrestled.
I think we've started to talk about it the last year or two, like how long the four horsewomen have been on the main roster. Like, I think we're talking like closer to a decade than not a decade.
Almost a decade.
I think, like, it's like top 8 years or something like that. I'd have to look that up.
Like, yeah, time flies.
It's pretty wild how long they've been up on the main roster. But yeah, I mean, you can, it would not be surprising if, she really is, not that she's in the past quite literally, but I mean, she's, you know, probably closer to being out than being in.
So 9 years, 2015.
Dear Lord. Okay. That's a year short.
And it's kind of like, I remember when they were like the new thing, and now it's like they're like that Kofi Kingston Miz thing, where it's like they're the longtime veterans. Because it's kind of like, you realize, like, Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair been up there for like a while, even though it seemed like they just got there. And then you start doing the math, it's like COVID messed up timelines for a lot of timeline memories.
Yes, it did. And because I'm going to guess that they're probably closer to 5 years than not.
Oh, boy. Trick Williams was out there in the Supernova sessions. They're trying to. Your last legend, you don't got to stand a chance.
2021.
Yeah. It's 2024.
Yep. So 3 years. I guess three years. Not quite as long as I thought.
But. Yeah. I just love how it's like, oh, y'all date in real life, huh? Well, we're going to bring it to the show. And I will say this. It's a lot better and more organic than most of the time they bring like real life relationships on to WWE, because for the most part, they have been, unless it's heels, it tends to be like Miz and Maurice work because they're both heels.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. But I remember, like, and of course, Macho Man and Elizabeth work, but that was a long time ago, because I remember that John Cena and Mickie James stuff where all of a sudden it's like, oh, you left your panties over my place. And people look at John Cena like, you like girls? Ew. Like, it just seems so damn awkward. Like, it was like, it just, because it just seemed out of nowhere. And it was like, they just had, I don't know what chemistry they had in real life. They didn't have any chemistry on the TV screen. It was just like,
well, could be why they're not together now.
Yes. I mean, you see John Cena, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll just leave that be. He moves in a very Agent 47 from Hitman type of way as far as personality goes. He just downloads whatever personality that fits. Like, I have no idea who the real John Cena actually is. Well, and, but I don't, it's not a bad thing. It's just kind of like, that's his business.
Yeah, he does kind of have a little bit of a scattered personality in that department.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, it's wild, the AJ Lee thing, Kane, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, like, yeah, she did marry CM Punk. They had been married for a long time. It was kind of like, in hindsight, that was just a weird time where it's like, I'm just going to be with everybody. And it's like, yeah, and it's like that chemistry, like, I don't know if they had chemistry because she just played the crazy girl, but they had chemistry in real life because they had been married and happy. And like Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch was kind of like so damn cringeworthy, because like, y'all bad, nobody was like, Becky Lynch, you're a badass, why are y'all here playing a damsel in distress? Like, nobody wants to see that. And I read her book, even she was like, nobody wants to see this. And like, oh, it'd be cool, it'd be awesome. And it was like, basically, what is she supposed to be saving Seth? Or Seth will be saving her. So it just never fit. This Trick Williams last legend thing, yeah, it fits.
Because yeah, even that the original interaction with them kissing, it's just, it seemed like an organic moment, you know, and it's just kind of gone from there.
And I like, because it works where Last Legend's a heel and Trick Williams is a face. So that adds some spice to it. And it's like, I like we're in an era now where champions can be cool. And one thing about NXT, especially NXT, is like, they have some, they've had cool champions. Like, they had champions where like, yes, I could, like Adam Cole was cool. Keith Lee was cool. You know, Samoa Joe was cool. Like, they, like Nakamura was cool. Like, they've had a lot of people that's just, like, you know, Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. Like, he just looks like a cool young man. And it's like, I could see him. Like, I'm glad we're at the point where I could see a world champion having sex and it don't seem like it's weird. And they don't have to be a heel to do it. Before, it's like babyface is like, you're a babyface. You can't have a girl.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be happy.
Asexual to be a babyface.
Yeah, it's like, no.
I mean, I guess you even think back about it, again, like, not even thinking back that far, the whole rated R superstar sex. What were they calling that?
I forgot what they called it. It wasn't a sex show or something. Live sex something.
Yeah. But yeah, they even set up the bed with him and Lita, like,
And who cussed that off? Ric Flair. Yes, I'm here to stop you. Not, you know, bad in the bed, Fred. And it was like, that was just, that whole era was just wild. Live sex celebration. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. No, Batista was the last babyface champion that was like, yes, he had sex with women. And even though it's like, you know, Batista did kind of commit a crime on SmackDown, we kind of let that slide. Like, you promised him Melina, you have sex, y'all get a title match, and then you didn't give them the title match to Eminem. Like, that's That is false promises. That is coercion, my friend. That is, I think that is statutory rape in certain spots.
Yeah. I'm thinking that there could be a number of crimes involved there.
Oh, knowing Dara laid out her baby, she don't like she's conflicted. Oh, I guess they're going to set up this title match. Noam Dar versus Trick Williams.
I felt like that was coming.
Yes, Noam Dar is very, like, he's somebody else. Like, he is extremely entertaining in a way that I wouldn't guess, because it's like, he can wrestle his ass off, but he's just such a damn character. Like, he just had this weird charisma, and it just works, because that group shouldn't work, but it works. It's the best way to say it.
Yep. No one has been able to formulate a good reason why that group works, but it does. But here we are.
I mean, like, who would have guessed Jakara Jackson and like Tatum Paxton would be doing TikToks together, be best friends? Like, I wouldn't have. I've seen them do plenty of times. It's like, because it's just weird how, I guess we can wrap up with that. It's like how the friend dynamics work, because it's like, oh, what was it? Trick Williams and Tony D'Angelo were roommates when they first got on there, so that's why they like buddy like that.
Oh, did not know that. That's pretty funny.
I kind of picked up on that, like the interaction they were having when they had the War Games match. When they were part of the team.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like they had put together, you know, like my roommate, I knew my roommate can do it. And it's kind of like, you wouldn't have guessed that off of first glance, but it's like, you say it's like, they both cool, they both young. It makes sense. But once you get, you just have to think about it. It's just kind of like, you know, why would I see like Jakara Jackson, Nikita Lyons, and Lola Vice besties? I don't know, but... It's like Charlie's Angels. It's kind of like it works. I can see the Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez thing, because it's like, you know, the daughters of AJ Lee is basically both of them. And they basically play off like, yeah, here's our dad, CM Punk. It's like, of course he's going to like both of them. He's married to their mom, more or less.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is wild. Him being down there like every other week.
Yeah, you know, and it's like these people probably look at him as a legend and they're going to listen to him and he enjoys teaching. And it's just kind of like, you know, it's just weird because it's like all you hear about is like, you know, I might have beef with CM Punk, but I don't anymore. It's like, I never had a problem with him. Everything working fine. Like, all you've heard kind of like, you know, we're doing well. If we had beef, we talked it out, we worked it out. Yeah. Are we all making money now?
I mean, it was even funny. I mean, to me, at least the one that I saw most public was him and Randy Orton.
Yes, when they were talking about the match.
They were talking about the match. He's like, man, I was just talking bad about him with Arn, and he just came around the corner. And they just, like, they're, like, talking it out on air. It's just like, yeah, this is where we're at with CM. Like CM Punk, Mr. Divisive in AEW, but all of a sudden he comes back to WWE and he buries the hatchet with pretty much everyone that he had a hatchet to bury with in WWE. And he's stepdad to Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade.
Yeah, like he's like the den mother. It's like he's out there. He was locked in WWE headquarters over the weekend. It's like this man is just, and you know, that man is just living life and having fun. Like, considering how depressed he could have been because he just came back. He's supposed to be in a main event WrestleMania. He got hurt. And he just had the time of his life. Like smiling, cracking jokes with Big E, just like living life and pissing off Drew McIntyre. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, that's just another one where, I mean, everyone kept on trying to dangle. I mean, not that we're going back to the re-sign talk, but everyone's like, oh, maybe Drew McIntyre leaves. Like, I can't believe he hasn't signed a contract. I'm like, there is not a chance in hell they're giving him this material.
Yes.
He's not going to re-sign. Like,
come on now.
At a minimum, they're going, this is what you get to work with if you stick around. That is their sales pitch at a minimum.
I know they treated Moxley like $1 million on the way out the door, but they didn't have him win a title right before he left. Like, they just let him, like, you know, he's leaving. He not re-signed his contract. We celebrating him, which is still insane in hindsight that they did that. Because that's normally not how they do things.
Especially under Vince.
Yeah, and it was under Vince. It's like, I know y'all wasn't surprised when he showed up in AEW. Like, y'all going to be like, well, you thought he was going to retire? Like. So, but they did that. But now it's like, yeah, like, Drew ain't going nowhere. And, like, you know, Drew, like, I just, like, this whole Drew CM Punk thing is just kind of so insane because you don't know how much is a work, you know how much is real life, but they both are just entertaining assholes where it's kind of like, CM Punk is like a tweener. Like, he a baby face, but he's like a baby face with the edge. And Drew is like a heel, but he's extremely entertaining. And it's like, it just works because it's just these two assholes who just hate each other. And Drew hates CM Punk so much that it's costing him his career. And CM Punk is there to basically laugh at him about that. Like, you need to be focusing on your matches and you focus on me. And look where that got you. Like, it's like the Joker and I'll be dead. Is the best way to describe that dynamic.
They are both being antagonistic towards each other, and it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's 24/7. It's in the ring. It's online. It's in tweets. It's just, it's so entertaining. And one last thing before we go, because I will talk about Raw. Sheamus, right? You're like, you know what? Ain't going to be no four-peat. Three matches enough with this man.
Oh, my God. Well, actually, two things. Just because... I'm like, the Dragunov Ricochet match, I'm like, good
yes.
Moodly. Like, I'm like, I can't believe it half entered my mind. And I'm like, can Gunther and Sheamus? And I'm like, yeah, they just outdid that. Like, that match was so awesome. And I'm like, nah, these two guys beating the shit out of each other, like, I do not blame Sheamus if there's not going to be a round four, but dear Lord, like, those first three rounds and great wrestling. Like,
Ricochet was so just like, I got a better shape. I'm training and I keep losing. I don't know what to do. Like, he just so damn broken. Like, I don't know, like, the hell with it. Like, he was just so damn discouraged. Kind of like, I gave it my all. I came back. I got in better shape. I got some fire. And then I run into this madman and I just lose. So,
I get the speed championship and then I lose.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, Ashton would help. Because, like, they see, like, Ricochet is awesome. And I'm glad they pushing him again and they definitely see something. So, but like, yeah, him and Drag, like, you know, when Dragon was going to main roster, he's going to get, but actually seeing it, it's like, yes, this man is going to have, he's going to be the most beloved man on Raw. It's like this crazy ass Russian that's like, you're going to have to murder me to beat me. And I dress in custom suits. So, like, it just works. Like, because this, they have a lot of people that's intense. They'll have nobody on his level, like, intensity. Like, you gonna literally have to murder me to beat me. They don't have anybody else with that type of energy on any of the shows. And I don't, it's not a whole bunch of people that type of energy in wrestling, period.
No. Like, he, yeah. Just really exudes intensity. Like, it is wild. Like, I guess it helps to have, like, a vein popping out of your forehead at, like, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And going from pasty white to bright red.
Yeah, let me do push-ups with four plates on my back to get ready.
Oh, dear Lord. That's he's starting to fall into that. The old territory for me was James Harrison from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my God. It's like, let me see if I can squat 650 and, you know, let me push a sled with a ton on because I'm bored.
Yeah, and Dragunov is like that, but different. Like you said, he's like, oh, let me throw like 445s on my back, and then I'll do one arm push-ups. And it's just like, huh?
While quoting Dragon Ball, and it's like, why do you think he was talking about, oh, Carmelo Hayes is about to die? It's like, we see what Dragunov is doing. This man is Vegeta. Like, Carmelo Hayes, like, you better pray. Because even if you win, you're not going to walk out that match. You're going to crawl out that match. And now he's bringing that energy to the main roster. It's like, yeah, good luck with that. Like, we saw what he did to Gunter. Like, that's the first time I saw Gunter, like, I don't want no parts of this. Like, and yeah, I will say this, and I know why they deleted it. Sheamus basically calling Gunter Hitler on Twitter. I was like,
oh,
he's like, you know, an Austrian that likes to wear fancy coats, believes in imperialism, and turn on his Italian allies. Like, we've seen this story before.
Oh my God.
That's allied with a German. And everybody was like, you can't say that.
Oh my God!
Yeah, he tweeted that over the weekend.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, they made him delete that because it was like, you know, it was a little too close to home because that was Vince's original plan. Like, let's make him a Nazi, and it was like, let's not do that. Let's not remind people about that because it's like, you see Gunter, and you know he's not. But it's kind of like, it don't take that much to turn that knob. You don't got to turn that knob that much.
No. You're still trying to appeal to a wide audience and doing things like that kind of narrows that
yes. audience. Gunter quote tweet that tweet like, what the fuck? Like, no, you're not going to do this. And no, they had a course, two big men is having a brawl, and it's like they just had a fight, and they fight, and it's like, you know, Shane, like, I'm gonna get in shape one way or another. If I gotta get in ring shape by just getting beat up by Gunter, these abs will be here in no time. And
oh man, well, I mean, there were burger jokes 1 week, and 2 weeks later, that man has dropped like 5 pounds, and it's just like.
I mean, like, he told y'all why he looked the way he looked, and he cracked jokes about stuff. He's like, he did the whole too many pies line, like, taking a lyric from his song. Like, yes, I know how I look. I'm going to be okay. I didn't know y'all. I think I wasn't sexy anymore, basically. Like, he has enough confidence to laugh at himself because it's like he don't have anything to prove.
No.
And absolutely it's like nothing. People thought he was gonna retire because, like, you know, like scoliosis, because he had like a neck thing for like a long time when he was there, and like he came back from. And so when people was wondering, like, is he gonna come back? Is he gonna sign with AEW? And then he came back early, and it's like, you forget. It was a time when Shane was like the most athletic heavyweight that they had because it's kind of like he's a huge man that is surprisingly agile. It just kind of like. They had so many great athletes. You forget about the old, like the original great athletes they had. Like you see, like when you see like Sheamus and Drew, like, yeah, Drew used to be a lot smaller. And Drew can do all the things he was doing. He was small. And he's like 40 pounds. He put on 40 pounds of muscle. Cause like Drew, when he was first in WWF, looked like Trick Williams. Drew McIntyre now does not look like Trick Williams. He looked like he ate Carmelo Hayes. And it's like he looks like a grown up, which is, and it's kind of like, man, he still is insanely athletic. And they just have so many great athletes in the present. You forget about the great athletes they have in the past. Like, it's the roster so deep, they're gonna have Rey Mysterio fight Kofi Kingston in a qualifier match on the house show. Because they said they didn't want to waste it on Raw because they had so many great matches already. And it's like, that's how deep the roster is. Like, Kofi Kingston and Rey Mysterio was a dream match. And they just have it as like a house show King of the Ring qualifier.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Just even doing little things like that. Like, I feel like that's another one where, well, some of the Kyrie Sane stuff. But they've made me go, maybe I should go to a house show? Like, and having matches like that, to me, at least helps to... you know, drive that kind of business. Like, hey, this is why you should come to a house show. Like, we might throw a King of the Ring qualifier in here, you know, something that's kind of important. Like, that's nice.
Yeah, like house shows, you can tell watching the clips, like, they are having a great time. And elsewhere, it's like, they get crowds everywhere they go. And it's like, they basically said, like, Backlash, they made, it was like the biggest non-stadium gate they ever had.
Yeah, that arena, because I was trying to figure out what number they were giving for that, because the wiki page on the stadium itself was pretty wide going, going from anywhere from 12,000 seats to 20,000, depending upon what the arrangement was.
And I think it was more like not the amount of fans, but how much money they made.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE is more than happy to talk about how much money they're making these days.
Yeah, it's like hand over fist, and it's kind of like I already booked my hotel for Vegas for WrestleMania because I didn't want to waste time, and I'm like, those prices aren't going to be any lower, and I'm glad this is, like, I'm going to go this year. Like, it's not going to be, you know, conflict with Ramadan, and I'd rather go to Vegas than Minnesota anyway. I will say this. Having WrestleMania in Las Vegas is kind of like, you're kind of asking for trouble. With that fan base in that city, and it's kind of like, people pointed out where, I don't know how many indie shows you're going to do in Vegas, because Vegas doesn't have that infrastructure to have like a whole bunch of small stuff like that. Vegas does big things. Vegas don't really do small things.
I'm trying to remember where I went to go see TNA pre-COVID. But that was like 1,000 or 2 maybe max, the room that was in. So there are some venues out there, because I know that they've changed to a different venue when they do their Vegas shows. I guess it was Impact then, not TNA. Now it's TNA. Well, whatever. I do think that there are things out there, but it's probably a little bit harder than some of the locales, just because it's still not that big of a city.
Yeah, like Vegas isn't the biggest for people think out to be. It's like, it's not, if you're not gambling or going to shows, eating, it's not like it's a whole bunch of things to do.
If you're not on the Strip, there is not a whole lot other than like regular suburbia outside of Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I would just say don't get too wild, because I don't want nobody to get buried in the damn desert. So, but I'm looking forward to it. Like, I was like, you know what? Because I had been on the fence, like, this past year I almost went, but the time didn't make sense. And I was like, if it was going to be Minnesota, I was definitely not going. So I'm like, no thanks. But Vegas,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll go. And I already booked in people, you know, because I saw, like, it's funny, when they announced Vegas, I started going on websites. And, like, when I first went there, they didn't let you book that far out. Like, if you went to the hotels by itself, if you did Expedia, like Priceline, you could. But by like 3 hours later, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we know people coming. So they opened up the, you know, the availability for it.
Interesting. It's usually a calendar year ahead. So I'm a little bit surprised, since we're past that date, that it wasn't open.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and treat myself. I'm not doing no Days In or Motel 6 or nothing. I'm going to have some fun. Because I know NXT's next pay-per-view going to be where UFC has their fights.
Yep.
So I'm curious to see how that goes. It's like, yes, that's a thing where they've kind of started, like, integrating. Like, yes, we're under the same umbrella, so we're going to start working together. And, like, have pay-per-views, like, you know, have a WWE and UFC pay-per-view the same weekend, the same city. It's like, yeah, I can see them doing, like, a SummerSlam and a UFC and people bidding on that, or, like, having a weekend where it's like you got SmackDown, WWE, UFC, and Raw. You basically running the town. Like, that's – they are going to be making – money hand over fist, because it's like they are figuring out the business aspects of it. unfortunately, it's starting to pick up the cheapness of the UFC, where it's like, yeah, we don't need as much pyro. Yeah, we don't need to. We don't need to re-sign Jerry Lawler.
Well, I mean, I didn't even know that Jerry Lawler, in some ways, was still with him because I do not watch pre-shows.
Oh, he hasn't been there, but it was kind of like this whole, you know, we're gonna take care of you longest, you know, you're around. Like this whole, we part of the old gang. Is like this. The thing about the old days is this is the old days, and it's like we don't do that anymore.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, people did point that out, and it's just like, yeah, unfortunately, I can understand.
Yeah, as your friend Fallon Henry just cheated to beat the wholesome Kalani Jordan. Oh, basically, I turned heel because you kept asking me to be your fight this fight, and I didn't want to. Basically, you shamed me into helping you, so that's what y'all get.
Oh, man.
You shamed me into being a good person. Like, this is none of my business, and like, it didn't come out of nowhere. Like, they set that up, but it's just funny how she became a heel. So
it's an interesting way to turn, that's for sure,
because it's like she had a point. Like, no, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't want to get involved in this. None of my business. Oh, come on, we need you, help us out. And it's like, you know how you help somebody and you really don't want to, and then you end up helping them, and you blow a tire out on the way there. Will you be mad at them? It's like, see, if I would have stayed home, this would have never happened. Now I got to fix a tire, and I'm wasting my time. That was basically Fallon Henley.
Yep, I could feel that vibe. If me helping someone move in college had gone awry, I would have been pissed at them 100%.
Like, she get involved in matches, and she get punched in the face by one of her teammates, and it's like, yes. So that's how I go. They back to the combine, and it's like, this is a wild thing. Like, I like how they show this, because it's kind of like, you know, I always wonder who's the strong, who jumps the highest, who can do the biggest deadlifts. And it's like, it just shows, like, yes, we are true athletes. We are athletic. Like, this is sports. And
oh,
I like how NXT is basically kind of like, you know, reinforcing that. And I'm just wondering, like, how that's going to look when they get to the CW. Because that's still wild. They're going to be on the CW.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pay attention to CW for more than just ACC sports.
Yes, ACC sports and NXT Riverdale, as people get just like, I could deadlift more than you. Like, they getting jealous over who can throw the medicine ball further.
Oh, man. Well, it sounds like a high school pettiness to be thrown in there. So it seems like it should fit right in.
And all of this is basically to set up a tournament for a title. That's the wild thing about this. Like, it's doing it to serve a purpose, not just doing it just to do it.
Well, like, yeah. And to at least reference that women's championship battle royal, like, hey, we have King and Queen of the Ring coming up here. Can we, like, somehow do this without a tournament? And the combine has a similar vibe to it. Like, hey, we're already doing a couple of tournaments. Can we figure out some other way to get there without there being qualifying matches?
I mean, I'm sure they got enough time. They might do this and still have qualifying matches. Like, the battle royal part didn't bother me because it was kind of like, look, it wasn't planned. I expect Rhea to keep the belt. Put the belt on Becky, because, like, if you want Liv Morgan winning the belt with a battle royal doesn't really matter. Like, it's not going to hit the same. Like, so save that for later. Like, Becky Lynch having the belt, you're not going to go wrong with that. It's Becky Lynch. She already has, like, she is established where it's kind of like, she's a champ. She's a big deal. So whenever she had the belt's going to be important. She can take a loss, too, and it's not going to affect her. So, like, her having the belt is perfect. And when Liv beats her, and Liv probably will beat her, it's going to mean more.
Yes, it will.
And I guess we can end with that. Like, Liv is like, this is not my fight. Like, I don't like, you thought we was going, oh, I guess we're going to work out our differences and fight together. Like, no, we are not.
That That was hilarious. And really, just since she is newly turned heel, like, I think that's a perfect move to pull. Like, not helping someone always gets the booze. Especially in that situation where you at least feign that you're going to help out and then roll out of the ring to let someone get beat.
It was so funny because it was like, oh, I guess we're going to work out our differences because they don't like either one of us. So we're still not friends, but we need to protect each, you know, watch each other back. And then she just rolled out, started laughing like, this ain't my problem. And just left. And Becky was kind of like, she couldn't even be mad because it's like, of course she gonna do that. Like, I'm annoyed, but I'm not mad. So yeah, I like heel Liv Morgan.
Okie dokie here. Well, since we're at the end of the show here, the Bell Time beer of the show is out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The brother must not have wanted to keep this one in his fridge because. Not one of his favorite breweries, but I have had some success with their beers. Hitchhiker Brewing Company, Subsurface, Smoothie Sour with Blackberry and Watermelon. There is a nice sour end from the blackberry, a nice sweet end from the watermelon. Perfect beer to have over a long podcast. The good thing about the sours, not too terribly alcoholic. Though I'm not, 7%, a little bit high for a sour, but kept me pretty lucid here during this long, long podcast. The brand is at Stunt Granny. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Philly_drugs. Go ahead and download us at any locations, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube Music. We are also on there. So, Shahid, send us out proper, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and we are out. So.